the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua.
The Lord bless you as we come again, trusting that the Lord will minister to us as we consider His word. Listener, we've been coming to you, bringing the word of the Lord from Hebrews chapter 6, dealing with the first principles of the oracles of God that are necessary for us to move on in Christ and become mature or become perfect, like the scripture puts it. Therefore, we are reading again from that Hebrews chapter 6. May you come along as we read and trust the Lord to help us and bless us today again. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. We trust the Lord is giving us the permission. And we've been dealing with the issue of resurrection. We want to continue today. Like I said earlier, this is a very wide subject, and it's a subject that we need to understand properly because it's very important in our following of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That scripture also, we'll be looking at it. We want to look at it again today. And that is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 and 24, and he says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming." This is what we dealt with last week. Christ are those that are Christ at his coming, or those who belong to Christ at his coming. Verse 24, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power." And we stress that this is important. Like we've seen here, there are stages or different stages of resurrection, or there's order in resurrection. We say that Christ, when he rose with the Old Testament saints, that's the first fruit. And we say the next stage of resurrection that we are anticipating and waiting for is that which will happen when Christ comes. But the scripture is saying here, Christ at his coming is for those who are his, those who are Christ. And we explained this last week. What it means, we look at such scriptures like Galatians chapter 5, where it said those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. That is when we are crucifying the flesh and walking with God and walking in the Spirit. We also look at such scriptures like Romans chapter 8, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh." And we emphasize that after being born again, if we walk in carnality and walk in our flesh, we are not in Christ. We are not submitting to his work in us, his dealings in us. We also look at Romans 8:13. It says, "Therefore, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." So we see here Christ, the first fruit. And then the second one that we are expecting now, which is still part of the first resurrection, is a fire that is meant for those who belong to Christ. Now, I trust that the Lord will bless us again as we continue. We're just going back to what we did last week so that we can continue today. I want to read Revelation chapter 20, still emphasizing this order of resurrection, those who will come into this order that will happen when Christ will come. The resurrection money, when Christ will come, those who will be part of that resurrection, those who will go with him, those who will enter that experience that he entered to when he died and rose from the dead. Please turn with me to Revelation 20, and I want to read verse 4 to 7. Revelation 20, verse 4 to 7. "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. I wish I had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither has received his mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands. And they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we see here a continuation of what Paul is saying. Here in Revelation, first resurrection is mentioned. If you look at the teaching of the Word of God, we will see that this first resurrection is what Paul was talking in what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. Remember again, the order is this: Christ and the first fruits. And we have explained that that had happened. The next one is the one that will happen, Christ at his coming. And this will be for those who are his, those who follow him. And we've shared this, explained this. But it's been also, we're seeing some other aspect in this Revelation chapter 20 that we just read. For instance, he's saying those who have part in this first resurrection are those who will refuse to have the mark of the beast. I will be dealing with this again. We'll probably look at it. What does it mean? Take the mark. And we'll see what help we can get there in this last day, particularly for us who are in this last day. But then we'll come back to that. And then he says, and they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. And then he says in verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again. That means those who do not have part in the first resurrection or the resurrection at the coming of Christ for his own, those who would not fit into that one, not have part in that, they will have to wait until 1,000 years has finished. In other words, they won't be part of the first resurrection. This is not just for unbelievers, this is also for believers, because Jesus said this also, that men, even believer, will go to outer darkness. This is outer darkness experience. This is not being part of his millennial reign. Jesus talked about the talents. The one who was given one and didn't use it. He said, that servant will go to outer darkness where there will be gnashing of teeth. Gnashing of teeth means regret. You are given the opportunity to do something, to attain to something, but you didn't. You failed to do it. That's gnashing of teeth. This is part of what the Lord was saying about outer darkness. Okay, and then he says, let me read that verse 5 again. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. That means after the 1,000 years, then there will be another resurrection. Okay, he said those who have part in this before the millennial reign, this is the first resurrection. And he says in verse 6, those who have part in this first resurrection, they are blessed. Not only they are blessed, they are holy. For having part in this first resurrection, they are blessed, they are holy. They are blessed because it's a great blessing. They are honored. They are promoted. They go to the next level of God. But not only that, they are holy. They have separated themselves unto God. The word holy means to be set aside, to walk in sanctification. And we show this in Ephesians chapter 5, where it says to sanctify them, to set them apart. Okay? To walk in our sanctification. And sanctification means to be set apart for God to cleanse us and to purge us and to make us holy. Let me just explain a bit of this, the word sanctification here. You remember Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word is truth. You remember also Jesus said, I sanctify myself for their sake. So every one of us must walk in sanctification. Even in Hebrew, the Bible says Jesus sanctified himself, consecrated himself forever. I'm reading again. I'm just explaining something about this sanctification. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you will see he's talking about we should come out of everything that is unclean, separate yourself. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 15. And what concord had Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement had the temple of God with idol? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not what? The unclean thing. And I will receive you. So a believer needs to walk in separation, separating himself from everything that is unclean, unclean people, unclean person, unclean issue, unclean thought, unclean materials. That's part of a sanctification. That's part what it means to be holy. God has set me aside. In Christ, I've been set aside, but I work out this thing in my daily walk with God. And verse 18, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God the Almighty. So we experience his fatherhood as we separate ourselves unto him, because he has set us apart in Christ. The Father, Jesus said, he whom the Father has sanctified. The Father sanctified Christ. The Father set him apart. But Jesus came and said, I sanctify myself. So you see, the scripture will always help us. What the Father has done, Jesus came and did it. And pray for the disciples so that they would do the same thing. So Jesus could have said, the Father, he, because Jesus in that John chapter 10, he said, he whom the Father has sanctified. And he came in John chapter 17, he said, I sanctified myself. You see, listener, so what the Father has done, I need to do. What the Father has done, I need to follow up. What the Father has done, I need to walk in it to become a reality. So that's what he's saying and bring here. In chapter 7 and verse 1 of this second Corinthians, he says, having therefore these promises, what promises? Promises of God the Father working in us and moving in us. These are the promises we have. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from what? All filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We have a part. God has done this for us in Christ, but we have a part to do. Having therefore these promises that is ahead of us, including the first resurrection, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, of the soul, our emotion and desire, our mind and spirit. And when we do this, we are perfecting holiness. We are working in that which God has done in the fear of God. You see, that's why you say here, those who have part in the first resurrection, they are blessed, because they are laying hold on the promises of God. Why? And because they are holy, they walk in their sanctification. They walk in their separation from the world, from things that would defile them. And it says, blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed, holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death had no power. The Bible talks about the second death, and it's talking about those who will go to lake of fire. We said this on this program, there's a difference between hell and lake of fire. So those who go to lake of fire, they are in danger. Those who do enter this first resurrection, they are in danger of it. On such, the second had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is the people Christ is coming for at his second coming. They will go with him into the millennial reign, and they will be priests to him, and they will be kings for him, and they will reign with him this 1,000 years. Okay, we see now the working out, and we're still talking about this first resurrection. That is the next phase, the next stage that will begin to be experienced at his coming. At his coming. Now, I want to read again from Revelation 22. Believe that precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Revelation 22, and I want to read from verse 10. And he said unto me, see not the saying of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. More so today. The time is at hand today. More so today. When it was written, he said the time was at hand. Then more so today. Verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, and then we just read that we should cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, isn't it? Let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. Keep your holiness, keep your righteousness. And if you want to keep the others at your filthiness and your righteousness, okay, it's your choice. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. And you remember Jesus said to some people, you workers of iniquity, I knew you not. I don't know you, because yeah, you claim to have done so much in my name, but I don't really know you. There's no relationship. There's no working out of things that is demanded of you by the word of God and by the Spirit of God. Verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Please, if he's the Alpha, let him be the Omega. If he begins with you in salvation, walk with him to the end. If he's the Alpha, let him be also be the Omega. And he says again, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments. That is those who are blessed. Who do his commandments? Commandments is not just what is written, but what is written in our heart. That's the New Testament strength for us. He said, I will write my laws in their hearts, and they shall know me. And no one should tell them to know the law, because they shall know me. I will write instruction in their hearts. What I want them to do, they shall know it. They will not only just read the Bible, but the word will be written in their hearts. Our hearts now are the tablet of stone where God wants to write his word with his finger so that we can walk in them. When it's written in us, it's written with power, it's written with impact, it comes with strength, it's indelible in our hearts, we can walk in it. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me to do your will, O God. I read that verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Verse 15. For without are what? Dogs. And you know dogs means unbelievers. But also dog means those who backslide. The Bible said the dog has returned to their vomit. So those who once walk with God, but they've gone back. Those who once walk in the Spirit, but they have gone back. Those who are supposed to move on in God, but they have gone back. They are also called dogs. You will see this in the book of Peter. Because it's important that we lay the scriptures for us, so that we can see that the word of God is true, the word of God is clear, and it is by doing this that we will be blessed. I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And I want to read from verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, I want to read verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world, the corruption in the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it has been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit. Again, and the soul that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So we see now, dogs here, dogs is not just unbelievers. Dogs is talking about those who have known the word of God, who are walking holiness and righteousness, who have even proclaimed the word of God, but they have gone back and they have been entangled and they have been snared again and they have gone back to their corruption. Is that what it's saying? They are dogs. I hope you understand that. The scripture is saying they are dogs. And that's why it says outside are what? Dogs. So we're saying that this first resurrection is not just for any kind of believer. It's not just for anybody who wants to do anything he likes and he still wants to think anything goes. No. Let's go back to that Revelation chapter 22, and I want to still read that verse 15. It says, for without are dogs, and we know what dogs are now, and sorcerers. Well, sorcerers are not just those who are not born again. You can be a Christian and you've gone back and become a sorcerer. After all, Prophet Balaam in the New Testament, he was a true prophet at the beginning, but afterwards he became a sorcerer that Joshua killed. And you will see this in Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13, verse 22, it says, Balaam also the son of Boaz, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that are slain by them. You will see his story in Numbers 23. You will know that he was a descendant of Abraham. He was receiving prophetic visions and words. But he went back. And then you will see how he went back. You will see this in Jude. Jude is just one chapter. It's a book before Revelation. It says, but they speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them. For they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished against sin of Kor. So you see here, Balaam started well, just like we have read in Joshua 13, verse 22, that he became a soothsayer, he became a sorcerer. You know, all that happens to people like this is that they once followed God, but they went back and they are corrupted in their gifts, they are corrupted in their moral lives, they are corrupted in their spiritual understanding, and they become something else. So I'm just explaining this so that we don't just read that such scriptures in Revelation and say, oh, we're just talking to sorcerers there. It's possible for somebody who has walked with God to become a sorcerer. I just show you now, Balaam became a sorcerer, a soothsayer. He allowed his gift to be corrupt because of his greediness and running for wages of unrighteousness. And that's why the scripture is saying here that outside, in other words, this first resurrection is not for them. It's not for sorcerer. It's not for whoremongers. Whoremongers also means sexual immorality and perversion and all the rest. And murderers. Okay? In other words, we are living in sexual perversion and you are living in sexual sins. We are not repenting and living behind. We are not for this resurrection and murderers. And you can murder people not just by gun and by sword. You can murder people with your mouth, destroy their character, assassinate their character and speak evil of them and destroy them. And he says it's not for them. And idolaters doesn't mean you have a shrine in your house or in where you are worshiping. The Bible says a covetous person is an idolater. If you live in covetousness, I'm quoting the scripture, I'm quoting from Ephesians. It says if you live in covetousness, you are an idolater. Covetousness, greediness. These are the works of the flesh. These are carnal natures in us that working with the Holy Spirit will help us conquer and overcome and take away from our hearts and take away from our lives. This is why he's talking about those who are in Christ Jesus, who are crucifying the flesh. This is flesh. These are the works of the flesh that the Holy Spirit must do in us as we submit, as we separate, as we yield. And by this, we are preparing ourselves for that first resurrection. And whosoever loveth and maketh what? A lie. It's those who love to lie and to make lie, to act a lie, to pretend to lie. To speak lies, you can speak lie with your mouth and you can live a lie. You can live a lie that is not real, that is not true. Pretending and lying to people by your nature, by your character, camouflaging and thinking that you are God doesn't see you. And you see, all these ones, they will not be part of this first resurrection. They will be outside. Outside what? The millennial reign of Christ. They will be outside in the outer darkness. May the Lord be gracious to us. And may the Lord have mercy on us. None of us can boast of himself, but we have been shown that we need to follow the Lord. We need to follow the Holy Spirit. We need to pursue our redemption to the end. We need to follow the Lord. We need to submit. We need to be separated. We need to see to it the cleansing of the soul, of the flesh, and of the spirit, separating ourselves so that we can. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church, a church without spot, without wrinkle. That's what we have been told. And he can only do through the washing of the water by the word. Submitting to the word. That's why we need teaching ministries today. Those who will teach us unadulterated word of God. Who will speak the truth to us. Who will tell us the truth we need to change us. Please, we need this. We don't need just telling us how we can make it in this life, how we can become multi-billionaire in this life, how we can get promotion and solve our problem, have solutions to our problem in this world. That is okay. But if that's all we get, we are the most miserable. We are not pursuing that promise that is laid before us. I trust that, yes, you are following hard words, but yes, it is important that we hear these things. It's important. I want to read again from Revelation chapter 3. We are dealing with the issue of resurrection. And we are dealing with the issue of first resurrection that will become a reality at the coming. Are you ready for this? As we go in the Word of God, you see this resurrection, this coming of Christ at the second coming, which is the resurrection morning, is coming. We are very close to it. Very close to it. Very close to it. That's why as we go into this scripture, you will see that the Bible talks more about resurrection morning, more than the way we talk about rapture. It is those who experience resurrection that will be raptured. That's why the scripture says those who are dead in Christ or those who died in Christ, they will resurrect first. And you know what that means now. It doesn't mean we're just believers are born again. And then those of us who are alive, who are in Christ, and we are living in Christ, we shall experience this first resurrection. And then we shall be with him. That is what the scripture teaches. I want to read Revelation chapter 3. Each time I read this passage, it's a challenge to me. And I hope it will be a challenge to you too. Every time I read this two verses, it's a big challenge to me, and I hope it's a challenge to you. Revelation 3:21-22, it says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, I am set down with my fathers in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Lord is saying now to us, to every one of us, that the way he overcame is the way we must overcome. Now, remember, Jesus didn't overcome by his own strength as God. He overcame as man. He followed the Father. I do nothing but what I see the Father do. I speak not my own words. I can myself do nothing. In other words, he lived and overcame by depending on the Father. And that's the way we are asked to do, to depend on Him and walk in Him and follow Him and drink from Him and live by Him and eat Him and be in Him, so that we also can have the strength to overcome all these things we've been talking about, all this carnality, all these carnal natures, all these things in the soul, so we can overcome them. No one can overcome them by soul strength. It's by feeding on Christ and leaning on Him and hearing Him. How do we feed on Christ? How do we lean on Him? He said, "He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." That's the way Jesus Himself came. He was always hearing the Father. He was always listening to the Father. He was always drawing from the Father. He said, "I live by the Father. I live by the Father. In order, I live by instruction that the Father gives me. I do nothing but what I see my Father doing." That's the way we can overcome too. But if we don't have the ears to hear, if we don't have the discipline to hear the Father, if we don't have the discipline to follow what the Father is saying, if we are not committed to walking with the Father and hearing the Spirit and following and overcoming these things, how can we say we are ready for the first resurrection? How can we even say we are ready for any resurrection in the first place? I ask the Lord to bless you. And I ask that the Lord will be gracious to us. I believe that God is looking and is yearning over His people, because the Lord knows that the end is here, and is yearning that His people will be ready. There's no more time to be ready. There's no more time. And change, transformation doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes time for us to be changed and be transformed in our nature to have the nature of God in us. And I believe that's where the Spirit is honest and is calling on us, and is calling on us to do something about this hope that is set before us. There are certain things we have opened up today that I trust that we will still deal with. For instance, we talk about those who will receive the mark of Christ. I just want to show you before we close. That time won't allow me to go into that, but I trust that as we come back next week, we'll be able to deal with those things. I ask the Lord to bless you. For those who are listening, we thank you. Those of you who are getting back to us, writing to us, and calling us, and asking questions, we trust that we'll always be there to answer your questions and to do what we need to do for us to go on with the Lord and to come to a place where He will be satisfied. He will see the travail of His soul and He will be satisfied in us. The Lord bless you. Thank you.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers: 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again: 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness.